I have 10:06, that clock's a little bit. Our minds are really slow, but we'll go on fine. Everybody else, 4 minutes, but they'll show up tonight. I apologize for my voice. Not a lot I can do about that right now, so bear with me on that. But we will get going. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. Deb, would you do the roll call for us, please?
Rachel Dahl.
Here.
Tim Dyer, not here. Jeffrey Gordon. Rob Hooper.
I'm here.
Laura I. James, is that how you pronounce it? Imes, thank you, not here. Nick Morano. Ricky Medina. Mary Persinski. Gary Papiga.
Here.
Carrie Richardson.
Here.
Buzz Sharman, not here. Hoyt Scavelman.
Scavelman,
thank you, sorry. Richard Slaby. Richard Stokes.
Should be Robert Slaby.
It is. I can't read.
Oh, okay.
It is Robert Slaby, thank you. Chet Burton.
I think we're probably short, but we can do information items.
Yeah. Should I read that?
We don't have a quorum, but we can keep on going. We just won't be able to take any votes on anything. But it's mainly information on the agenda anyway, so we should be good to go. So with that being said, we'd like to hear some remarks from our president.
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for Fallon for hosting us. It's good to be out here. Hopefully we'll get a few more people. I know some folks, I guess, don't know the distance coming out here. So, first thing is, it's not a formal agenda item, but I will cover it a little bit when we talk about the last community college committee meeting. There's a lot of focus on the dual enrollment programs, both at the state level as well as the Board of Regents. I think Bob has some of the preliminary numbers from Jumpstart from the fall, so... you want to touch on that real quick, Bob?
Certainly. Just to give everybody a reminder, when we started the program 18 months ago, we had, in the fall of 14, we had 199 students. They were all in what we were calling Track A, which is essentially the four-year transfer arrangement. We had a 97% pass rate that semester, which was just astounding. I had no concept that we'd come close to that. When we got the numbers, I was astounded. This past fall, we were up to 353 students from 199, vast majority of those taking a full 15-credit load. Very few. Douglas County and a few others here and there scattered about, taking less than 15 hours. We have three tracks this year. Track A, which is, again, the traditional transfer four-year type intent program. Track B, which we ran in a couple of places, both at Oasis here and at Carson, intended to help students who weren't quite ready for Track A, but with a little bit of help in their junior years, by their senior year, would be ready for Track A. And then a C track for CTE, which we're piloting with the industrial technology area. We tried construction, but couldn't get the students interested in it. But the industrial technology area worked. So we've got three tracks running this year. We think the greatest amount of growth for the future is going to be in that C track as well. I think we pretty much capped out on the A track, and I don't see the B track growing a whole lot, but the C track I certainly do see growing quite a bit. Schools that we're working with, we've got Carson, Churchill, Douglas. You've got the list there. I won't read them off to you. But the one most unusual, I guess, is probably the Nevada Virtual Academy that we're working with this fall. That's a little bit different from our standard model, which has been a face-to-face with our faculty there, our TAs in the room. The Nevada Virtual Academy is down in Clark County, and they came to us and screamed and cried and begged to get into the program. And when we said, well, if you're in Clark County, you should talk to CSN, they went to the board, our board, and said, you want in? And so our board said, take them. So we're working with Nevada Virtual Academy virtually. Our faculty are here, but they're doing video conferencing with the students in Nevada or in Vegas.
How many students in that?
I think there are 18 this semester, but they're looking to double that for next year. The parents down there have got the word, and they think they may have as many as 50, they think. So we'll wait and see how that pans out. With the expansion this year, I was a little concerned about our success rates. Didn't know how that was going to work out because we were certainly reaching farther out, taking a broader group of students. But it still worked out just fine. We had a 94% pass rate this past fall semester.
Thanks, Bob.
Sure.
So, yeah, there's a lot of interest. It's something on the agenda for the next community college committee meeting on Thursdays. And I think everything's going very positive in that area. It's getting a lot of favorable response from the parents and the students. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And someday we'll do a calculation, say how much money we're saving all these parents. I'm sure it'll be pretty substantial. I'm
so
sorry.
For the college, are those 353 students, is it equivalent to as if they were graduating from high school and in college? Or is there a dollar value that's equal, or is this an expense for the WNC?
It's not expense for the college. In fact, it helps our enrollment. Enrollment is what drives our funding model. We have a number of different models for the students paying tuition depending on the school district. For all the way from in Virginia City where Comstock Mining is giving all the students and Jumpstart scholarships to partnerships with the school districts where the parents, if they have the financial means, pay part of the tuition. The school district pays on a partnership, and we've also managed to get some scholarships for students that have financial need, because one of the tenets of Jumpstart we try to do that no student will be precluded from enrolling based because their family can't afford it. So in a sense, you know, you hear the term free community college bannered about a lot, but at the end of the day, if a student qualifies for Jumpstart and their parents, and they all agree to go into the program, it essentially is free community college for those students.
Actually, quite, Churchill, we pay full tuition. School district pays full tuition.
Oh, I see. WNC either way.
Yes.
No worries. Okay. And I know one other thing that I'm supposed to provide introductions. And real quick, we do have some visitors. Bob Clifford, who's the chair of the so-called Fallon Rock Committee, that is a strong supporter of the college out here in both Fallon and Churchill County. We have Sherry Black, who's with the college, and she's our director of the Fallon campus. Deb is handing out placards, but obviously I think you all know that Bonnie, after a number of years at the college, I think 19 years, retired in December, and Deb Conrad took her place, so we appreciate having her. I'm very proud to introduce Nikki Gladys, who replaced Katie Leo as our foundation director, and I also know that she's looking at the board composition for her board of directors, and one thing she's very interested in is having a membership representing Churchill County and Fallon. So if you know somebody that'd be interested in the foundation and all the good work they do, you might want to pass along that to her. Of course, Mark Ann, there, Ann Hansen, our Marketing Information Services Director. Judy Cordia, who has an agenda item, she's going to talk about nursing and some ideas we have for reinstating the nursing program out here in Fallon. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
And Dr. Georgia White, who's our CTE director at the college. And last but not least, you already heard from Dr. Bob Weiniger, who talked about the Jumpstart program. Just real quick, a couple things I've got is... We were out at Tesla last week, and that's an agenda item. That visit went very well, and they're actually starting to ramp up production out there, and they're looking for some training, so we'll be working that. I think that it was very positive that you may have saw in the media that WNC was awarded two of the so-called STEM Challenge grants that came out of the last legislative session. And one Dr. White applied for an automated robotic welding program, which will be primarily focused in Carson City. And the other one, Rachel and Sherry worked on primarily together for some IT training and programs and basic entry-level IT that could possibly lead to some certifications out here in Churchill County. So we're really excited about that. In fact, those two grants added up to almost $200,000. So Little Western, out of the total of $600,000, it was awarded, we got about a third of it. So, and we're the only institution that got two of the grants. I'm proud of that. So that was very positive. If you're in Churchill, I would have liked to have been able to show off the Bristlecone building, but over the winter break, we finally got that remodel done, and the students are very positive. It looks great. I think it sends a very positive message, as well as Sherry's going to talk about. This is one of our modernized classrooms out here in Fallon, which we did last summer. And if you saw what these looked like a year ago to where they are now, you can see we've come a long ways there as well. I know that you may or may not be aware. I'll just let you know that our Board of Regents member, who's Bob Davison, announced that he was not running for re-election. He was appointed about a year ago when Ron Connect was elected to be controller by the governor. He has decided not to run to date. I know there's one person running for that seat, a woman named Sarah LaFrance, who actually lives in Incline. She is met with some folks in Carson. I know she was out here meeting with the Rock Group and some people. I'm not aware of anyone else at this point that's announced, but I know that right now she's got some background in higher education, in that she's been on the foundation board at UNR, and she's done some other things. She doesn't have a lot of background with community colleges, but I guess it'll be our job if she's elected to educate her. So. You also, last but not least, two things. We're, the old adage, one door closes, another one can open. This is our last year of intercollegiate athletics at the college, and that was a budgetary decision with the men's baseball and the women's softball team. We actually had a community member approach us in Carson City, a gentleman named Ian Hill, which some of you may be familiar with. And he's very interested in starting a soccer program at the college. Big difference is it's going to be a club program, and so there will be no scholarships, and it will require no financial support from the college. He's done a similar thing up at Lake Tahoe Community Colleges. He had over 100 students, men and women, involved. There is a pretty robust club program. They go over and play Davis and Berkeley and Stanford and Chico and UNR. And we've had a lot of interest in that program. But it's also gotten some pushback from the folks that are supporters of the baseball and softball. They said, why are you cutting the one program and starting this? And trying to be very clear, they're very different. It's an apples and oranges. The one requires almost $400,000 a year in support from the college, direct support for full-time coaches and travel. And the other one is going to be, it's a club program sponsored by the student government, ASWN, as a club program. They can apply for some financial support through the student fees, but there'll be no direct college support for the program. So, if you've seen anything on that, I just want to clarify what was going on. And last but not least, I'm also excited. This has been kind of a personal interest. Next week at the Board of Regents meeting, Bob will be presenting a proposal for a new a degree in business. And we've heard a lot of demand for that. Of course, we talk about manufacturing and all the other things, but a common thread is having, some basic knowledge of business, and it'll also be, it'll be associate degree that allows students to go into some of the entry-level jobs that we've heard, like Harley-Davidson Financial has indicated a need, but more importantly for students that want to pursue a career, it'll be a direct transfer for them to go on to UNR or one of the other places to get a business degree. So I'm excited about that. That's all I've got, Chair, unless there's any questions.
Any questions? President Burton. Welcome to all our other folks that just showed up. So it's my turn. I apologize for my voice again for those of you who heard. That's why I'm isolating myself way down. But I'll leave. It'll be a shorter meeting because I won't be able to talk. You know, just some of my remarks. First off, you know, thanks to everybody for taking your time to be a part of this council. I think this is going to become, the most important organization that we have going in our economic development landscape as we move forward. If we use this tool the right way, I think that's the big if right now. If I had one word that would describe what our current situation is right now with our economy, it's capacity. We are lacking capacity. And just about everywhere you look, we're lacking capacity. And one of the keys to that is developing the right kind of workforce. I think that's essential to what's going on. For a little plug for Rachel and I on economic development stuff, you may have heard the announcement that we put out last week that we've got Watco coming in to build a new rail center out in Fernley. The new types of industry that's going to bring to us is amazing. One you haven't heard is looking at the possibility of having a group as prestigious as Cognizant coming into Carson City, a $16 billion company. We're co-sponsoring a breakfast with them next week down in Las Vegas, along with the Canadian government. I don't know if you saw the Outside Magazine article in January. It's not what I subscribed to, but Bill Miles brought me a copy of it. But for the up-and-coming STEM tech boom places, right, in the Western, or in all, they went through the whole United States, the percentage of STEM jobs, the amount of pay per job on average, they measured several things, including the fun factor, which is a big thing for the STEM guys and gals. And in the West, you had Olympia, Boise, San Diego, and Carson City as the up-and-coming locations. When I see Carson City, that to me means Fallon, that means Douglas, that means Virginia City. It's this whole region that we are a separate deal, different than Reno, different than Las Vegas. So the eyes are upon us right now, and I think that it's our game to lose. We've really got to step up to the plate here. And we've got to address our capacity in the right way. Really glad to hear about the expansion of the business program. Because in manufacturing, I've always been amazed in manufacturing that every company is like an oasis, a community unto itself. You have business people in there. You have shipping people. You have logistics people. You have frontline people. You have customer service people. It's a complete community. You need good business people. As well as we need it for our entrepreneurial side. So lastly, I'll just say this. I had a meeting with Collie Hutter about a week ago. And as you, I'm sure you're aware, Collie's the chairperson for the Truckee Metals Institutional Advisory Council. And I like something that they're doing up there, so I wanted to share it here. Because I think this is where you as a council member can make a lot of difference, and that's intelligence. Bringing intelligence as far as what the community needs back to this council so we can talk about it, we can come up with conclusive statements, we can pass it on to Chet with his direction, we can pass that on to board and get their feedback on it. But that's one of our major charges of this organization, is to bring in the information that the community needs. So I think this is something we want to put on the agenda for next time to get more organized about. But what Truckee's doing, which I really like, is each council member took a different segment of industry or community and went out and actually interviewed and brought a report back. And they're doing that on a regular basis. I thought that was a great idea. So I'd like to put on that. Think about that. If you can do that and bring something back to the next meeting, that would be great. I'd like to get us, if we can, on the next agenda to kind of organize that and use that as a conduit through the Standing Committee Board. So that's my comments. Anybody have any questions for me? Hearing none, we now open up this meeting for public comment.
I do have a question. I took a minute for my intelligence to kick in. You know, a lot of us at this table have been involved in the SET process, and I'm wondering if as a part of that, each of us were kind of focused on different industry sectors in that SET process,
right.
And
yeah.
Does it make sense to kind of try to tie those together? For instance, my focus was transportation and infrastructure, so I would volunteer to take the lead on that unless someone else is already super connected to that, because I only am in a rural way.
That's a good idea. Maybe the action point on this would be if everybody could email back in what area you believe you're most attached to, and we could put together a grid on that. Does that make sense if we did it that way? Yes, sir.
Yeah, and part of this group was trying to get representation from a lot of different. I mean, we got Kerry and Fallon with construction, Gerd with machining and, you know, manufacturing. Obviously, Jeff with manufacturing, Hoyt with healthcare. And so I think we've got pretty good representation of all those areas. And obviously, work in transportation and logistics.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Thank you. I guess the bottom line is the more input we can get, the more we can get it organized, the better. So if you got something from your own industry you can bring on the table, I guess my plea is don't sit on it. Don't keep it in your pocket. Put it on the table. What I'd like to do as a council, and I've talked to Chet about this, is I want to kind of push the envelope with the Board of Regents. I want to say, here's what we want from you, and see if they give us a response back. And I know there's notes. We'll get to read it. That's what I'd like to see. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I just hate duplication of effort.
I didn't hear anybody for public comment. So now we will move on to number five. Remarks from our council members here. We'll start with Richard and we'll just work our way around.
Well, this is my first meeting, I guess, as an official voting member, so I'm glad to be part of the group. And we're moving into spring, which for Carson City School District means, of course, review of staffing and programming. All of those things are important. Very grateful for the relationship that we have with the college and appreciate the support.
I'll just make one general comment. I see my notebook here, or my folder here. I've been pleased to see a lot of articles in the paper about successes at WNC or students that are out there, programs that are going on, and perhaps it is. I hadn't even doing that all along, but I haven't been paying attention. But it just seems like over the last few months, there's been quite a number of, you know, success stories, programs that are highlighted and things like that. So,
thank you.
Just an observation on my part.
That takes us down to you.
How
about
you line this report up? Yeah,
just your comments. Any comments you might have? If none, that's fine too. This is your chance to share.
I'll probably add on during the presentation on the nursing and Bruce having a pre-discussion. I was just thinking about how would I help you understand, help you, the college understand healthcare needs, and you're probably better at that than I am. I'm hospital-centric, but healthcare is a whole lot more than that. I'm not quite sure how I would go about being your eyes and ears, but we can certainly chat. For example, we don't do dentistry in our hospital, in our facilities, or our clinics, but there's probably different needs that we might overlook if you only look to hospitals for healthcare professions. And I'm not sure, as I think about Northern Nevada, there's not a clearinghouse for healthcare. There's not they're independent and unique civic organizations or like the American Hospital Association, the Nevada Rural Hospital Partnership, but there's not an overarching unifying society for healthcare. But I wonder if there might be some needs, non-traditional healthcare or in the non-hospital setting, that, that might be more fitting for the community college. So something to think about. Your challenge that you've issued, I think, has me thinking. I'm not sure I'm your man, but I'll start.
If I can comment back on that, I think when somebody shows up at your door, what are you looking for? You know, as far as an employee is concerned. And I know that there's certain licensure and credentials and things like that, but beyond that, what could a community college do to contribute to a perfect employee for a hospital?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later in the agenda, I think, but an example is we know there's not enough nurses in the country for the aging population. When they start to retire, they already started, and then the economy went bad. We have a lot of nurses who came out of retirement to work part-time, so there's going to be, when we go over the edge of the waterfall, we're going to have a problem. But the problem in that is people think of nurses as, hey, we produced a nurse. A hospital could only absorb, especially a smaller hospital, but even renowned, you could only absorb so many new nurses. And those new nurses cannot work in surgery. They cannot work in labor and delivery. They cannot work in the ICU. And you can train up a nurse in the ER. You can train up a nurse on the med surgery unit or in an outpatient department. But they're really not helpful to you for 2 to 3 years. So you get saturated. So you could actually, WNC could produce a bunch of nurses that won't find jobs in this transition. And home care, you can train up. The home care nurse is actually almost one of the most sophisticated nurses if it's a quality home care organization. And so the nursing homes might be the best place to start nurses. So again, I don't know where the nursing homes, what society they belong to, where. So anyhow, it's nursing is far more sophisticated in practical placement of nurses than anything else. So I was mentioning earlier, I wish the college could be if there's some way to explore something that's never been done. Well, it's been done, you've said, I've not seen it in my 19 years, where you can hire a nurse out of a training program that's been trained as a specialist. Because that nurse can go get usually there's been a shortage enough, they can go get a job as a general nurse. And so there's a huge problem. $120 an hour for an agency nurse in ORs. You can't find them. And you can't even find agency nurses to staff the OR. There's a shortage there. But the reason is because it's a highly skilled nursing. A new nurse cannot work in the OR. Just can't put them there. They'd have to train for, they could get one more year of experience in a community college, practical experience. You have a gold mine. You could send them across the nation. But they'd have to get that experience. So that's it.
Interesting. So we'll go to Carson City. Garrett?
Hello.
You have any comments for us?
No. A little difficult to hear. You guys keep cutting in and out a little bit.
Carrie, do you have any comments?
No.
No. So I guess the next member in line here is Mary.
Hello. Anyway, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for arranging a meeting. I've had to miss so many because of the State Board of Education conflict. So, but one thing I'm really happy to see as a former superintendent, of course, Mr. Stokes has done much better in Carson than I ever did. So, any rate, but I do work with the superintendents from around the state as their legislative representative, and so I'm attending the state board meetings and also a new committee, the High School Graduation Committee, and I'm really happy because I think from the time when I had that position and now, I see a much better coordination between K-12 and the college and the university system. And if we're going to get the workforce that's needed, we're going to have to really hone in on that. And so I'm seeing that, and I'm really happy about that, and I think it's going to do all of us well. And I will be happy to bring back what some of these different groups are saying and the areas that they're looking at, too. So job training is college and career ready. That's the thing these days. So any rate, I think this helps us get on the way. Thanks.
Ricky. Yeah, I don't have a comment.
Sandra, did you have any more to add?
Well, I just, yeah, I do. I think it's really great the way we've started working with the school districts and bridging that, you know, 12, 13-year gap, because it has a huge gap. You know, we are very willing at Churchill to enter into more partnerships. You know, just as Hoyt was saying, you know, we would love to be able to have a CNA program at the high school, but one of our major problems is when they have to actually, you know, work with clinical kinds of experiences, you know, they have to go to Carson City. It's a long drive, and we have kids that may do really well in a CNA program, but they can't get to Carson City for that practical experience. So, you know, if we can start creating some more programs up here where our students can take part of that, Georgia, we've already met with Georgia to talk about the CTE programs and certification programs. You know, working with Sherry and Rachel on the IT, I meet tomorrow with a teacher at the high school, and we'd like to put in some programs within our CTE program that's going to get kids prepared to go into that final year, final 16 weeks of whatever of certification. So what is it that we can do at the K-12 to be able to provide those prerequisite skills kids need so they can walk into these certification programs and be successful? So we're excited to partner with that, and I think it's great, and it's a great opportunity for our kids, and it gives them some, being here in Fallon, it gives them some real hope that there are things that they can do where they're going to be able to earn a living wage and be productive. So thank you very much for that partnership.
I also want to thank Sherry and Georgia both, and everyone at the college who helped us with that grant. Carol Lloyd at the library was able to kind of strategically position us so that we could go after that funding, and we really appreciate, I mean, they dropped everything and made that help work for us, so thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Now we'll move on to the approval of minutes.
I think we should just note that there is a quorum present at this point.
Okay. Carlos, I couldn't have done this.
Okay, you can go home now.
Now that we do have a quorum.
I did attend that meeting. I came a little late, but okay. As an ad hoc.
So, if I'm going to take some time to read them, or if somebody wants to provide a motion to approve them. Put that in the way. When you do review them, please give us a motion.
Deb, did you get that one change?
About the forum?
No, Dr. Shelton was at the last meeting.
No, I did not hear that.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
And, Deb, I don't know if you can move that pickup, but I think that Carrie and Gerd are having trouble hearing us. Maybe, I don't know how long that cord is, so you can move it down here on the table a little bit. It might help them. I don't know.
We could probably move the table and move the whole unit.
There we go. That's it. Hopefully that will help. I don't know. Can you hear us okay now in Carson?
At the moment, it just kind of cuts in and out. When you're on, we can hear you. It's just it cuts off.
Okay. Sorry about that. Hopefully this will help.
If there aren't any revisions, I'd move to approve the minutes.
Okay. We have a motion by Rachel to approve the minutes. Hey, a second. Anybody?
Yeah, I was second.
Okay, we have a second. All in favor? Anybody opposed? Right. Pushing us along. Okay.
Monday morning, it's low energy.
Where's the donuts?
Okay, we got a approve minutes and that President Burton give a report on the last Board of Regents committee meeting. I was traveling and was not able to attend, so Chet filled in for me on that. I'll turn it over to you, Chet.
Well, yeah, just I can go through this. The last committee meeting was November 20th, and then the next one will be this Thursday at 8:30, obviously at System Administration. There were just a couple highlights I'll pass along. The one thing, when we gave our update on what the IEC was doing, we reported, of course, that we'd met down in Douglas County, and we were graciously hosted by General Electric down there and Jeff. And I thought that was very, very well received. And I think this is also indicative today what's going on, to try and get out and look at the whole service area, not just, you know, we get so Carson City-centric sometime, and we have a much broader service region. And that was very well received by the board chair, Regent Anderson, the looking at more holistically the service area. The board received a report, again, we talked about it beginning on the dual enrollment programs, and of course, Little Western, in terms of what we're doing statewide, is really taking a leadership position in terms of true dual enrollment. I mean, you've got, in Washoe County, you've got Truckee Meadows doing the Truckee Meadows High School, which isn't really a dual enrollment. It's more like a magnet school type, as well as down in College of Southern Nevada. But in terms of a program that allows students to take college credits in a structured manner, but yet still be part of their high school and part of their class and graduate with their high school class and participate in all the type extracurricular activities, this program is pretty much unique statewide. We're pretty proud of what we've done there. And lastly, the main discussion topic was one you would have thought would have been fairly benign, but it was related to naming convention for College of Southern Nevada. There's three main campuses they have there: North Las Vegas, the Cheyenne campus, and the Henderson campus. And your counterparts in Clark County actually put together a subcommittee to look at naming and try and change the names to have those facilities more representative of the communities they serve. So it'd be College of Southern Nevada Henderson, College of Southern Nevada North Las Vegas. Interesting enough, there was a lot of discussion, and at the end of the day, this A was the first formal proposal that had come from an IEC to the Board of Regents for action, and the Board of Regents tabled it. And so it created quite a bit of heartburn, because the feeling was, you've asked us to do this, we put a lot of work, we got community input, and then you took no action on it, which is the same as killing it, essentially. So I believe this next meeting, that's going to lead to a lot of discussion, because obviously everyone in here is very busy. You've got a lot of things going on. You take the effort to come here once a quarter. It's our job, in my opinion, to listen to the input, as well as the board, hopefully, to look at where the gaps are between what we're doing and what's needed. And if the board's not willing to listen to that, then, in a sense, we're wasting our time. And I think that naming was a good thing to test us at, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really make a difference for a student. I mean, there's some pride things. But I also think that the board has to take that on and realize that, there's got to be a focus on the community college, not just in words, but in actions. And two, everyone coming together and putting their work and effort into this. If we can't make positive change that better serve our communities and better serve our students, then we're just wasting our time. And I feel pretty strong about that. I'm excited today. We got a lot of good meat to cover. And I hopefully down the road, we can bring some proposals forward to the board that aren't just about naming, but about things that will make some positive changes. So lastly, they talked about some minor housekeeping items with the committee, and then they brought up the STEM challenge grants, which we'll talk about at this next meeting again. And of course, Western has done very well there. We'll talk, I think George is on the agenda. I'll leave that to her later on. But in terms of overall grants, the trajectory of what we're doing at Western continues to be very positive. So I'll leave it at that unless there's any questions.
Yeah, any questions or comments for Jen on that? Other than you can do it a lot faster than I do it. One comment I'd make is that even in earlier in your comments, you talked about the relationship with Nevada Virtual Academy. And I think that, you know, you talked about small, little Western, right? I think that our region's in a very unique situation that allows us to reach out to create our own partnerships, North and South. The South can't do it with the North very well, and the North can't do it with the South. But for some reason, we're in the middle, and nobody gets totally upset with us when we do. So we're small and we're nimble, right? And I think that's our strength. So a lot of opportunity for us as a group here. Thank you for mentioning. Moving on, we have a report on serving the needs for Tesla's workforce. Who was doing that?
Well, Bob and I can do that jointly. We ran out of time at the last meeting, so this was a carry forward, and there was a number of things going on. And there's still things, some very positive things going on, but we, as I reported in my opening remarks, we were actually out at the Tesla plant the week before last, I believe now it's. And they're doing some small-scale production out there. Of course, they're starting to ramp up. We had some very positive, we had us, Lake Tahoe Community College, and some a representative there, both from the State Board of Education as well as Washoe County Schools. And if there's been anything concrete, we finally started to get some concrete, even though we still haven't seen a specific curriculum yet. At least there's been an agreement to have some meetings to drive down that route. And then concurrently with that, on the CTE side, it's not just Tesla-centric, but I'll turn it over to Bob and or Georgia to talk about some things going on there with the Lyon County grant and some of the other work you're doing in that area. Plus, this dovetails a little bit with number 13, because obviously we have some capacity issues. And thanks to our friends with Miles Construction and Kerry, we can give you a report on what we're doing to address some of that capacity. So I don't know if you want to add anything.
I can throw a couple more things on there. In terms of Tesla in particular, at the board meeting prior to this one, almost 3 months ago, we did get a couple certificates approved that were designed specifically to work for Tesla, both a skill certificate and a 30-hour certificate that were in the advanced manufacturing area. So those were designed to work with the things Tesla will want us to be doing, at least we think so. Again, it's hard to get exact curriculum out of Tesla. Following up on the STEM grant that Georgia was able to write last time, we've got a certificate and an associate's degree proposal going in for mechatronics, which should also help in that direction. And there, as President Burton mentioned, there is a meeting set with Brian Mitchell from the Governor's P20W Council. I can't remember if it's this Friday or next Friday.
Friday.
It's this Friday. Okay. To start meeting and talk with K-12 and the two community colleges about how we can coordinate and get a single vision for what an education stands for, something you've talked about in the past. If a student graduates from this program, no matter whether it's from us or Truckee Meadows or high school, then this is what they're prepared to do. George Smith.
Well, and it's, excuse me again, it's not Tesla-centric because we have tremendous other manufacturers in our area that have been very supportive. And so Brian Mitchell wants to look at what are the common educations. Like I talked with Jeff before, along with Emily, what is it for an associate, what is required for a technician, and what are the career pathways so that we can educate the students as well, not just for the entry-level jobs.
You might want to also mention, I mentioned Lion, but I believe you've had meetings on a manufacturing gateway with Carson City Schools as well. You want to share?
Correct.
Because this also talks about the recruitment a little bit.
Okay, so when we've been meeting with all the school districts, and as you pointed out earlier, all of our service areas may have different needs. So I'm working with the school districts and also keeping in mind, it's great here working with economic development, that we're identifying the needs in those areas, not just for workforce training, but to keep those students in that area and be productive, contributing members of society in that area and contribute to the multiplier effect of the dollars, which we all know about. So with Carson City, they put forth a four-year curriculum in manufacturing, which the first 3 years will be a combination not only of manufacturing, but an ancillary area as well, which might be engineering, it might be IT, it might be any number of areas. And then the fourth year is designed to participate in our Jumpstart program, which at the Carson campus, in which the students would achieve 24 credit hours, college credit hours. For that and be able to obtain two different credentials. One we've identified, the MT1, Manufacturer Technician 1. They'll get an OSHA card. And then at the current time, we're also offering the NCRC, the National Career Readiness Certificate. And although it hasn't been embraced in the West and generally, Midwest, East Coast sees this because it represents that individual's ability to read and interpret information and a certain level of math skills and being able to solve problems. So anyway, that's what we have. Mr. Stokes, does that sound good? And then with Lyon County, because it's so spread out, we're trying to find the best way to train. Lyon County's written a grant to cover transportation for Jumpstart students to come to the Carson campus, but that puts a huge burden on the students of 1.5 to 2 hours transportation each way. And unless we could teach a class on the bus, which it seems to be an interesting use of time. So we're working with, at this time, actually it's taking more momentum, but with Silver Stage High School, which is located between Stagecoach and Silver Springs, and possibly developing a hub that would be manufacturing. Actually, last Friday, I met with one of their CTE director, and we're looking at using IT as a way to get into manufacturing. They're looking at putting forth a grant with their Perkins funds, as well as some others that we've identified, to really set up that manufacturing and other training to serve this area. Because once the USA Parkway is through, there'll be 13 miles to Trick. So hopefully we'll do that. And we're also looking at working with construction because theoretically there should be a lot of construction taking place in this area.
Thank you. And just if you wonder, you know, seeing what's going on at Tesla, because it's obviously in the paper. If you think about that plan, it's a huge facility, and it's actually broken into three parts, and each part has three floors. Wow. So it's like 9 different modules, if you think about it. And Tesla will only be running the one module C. Actually, A and B will be run, and those 6 areas will actually be run by Panasonic. And that will that's where that battery production will take place. So as I said, there's right now, I think they said there's around 600 employees all in out there. A lot of them are still engaged in construction. But they're only running one-third of the C module, so essentially one-ninth of the whole building is being used at this point. And that is actually building the storage modules for manufacturers and different people that want to have mass storage. For instance, if you run a energy-intensive business and you want to store energy so you can draw it when the peak times, you can use one of these large industrial modules and store it off peak and then use it. And there's a fairly significant savings, as well as you may have just saw Tesla landed a large contract with, I believe it was the island of Lanai in the state of Hawaii, and they're going to go totally renewable energy. Right now they use diesel generators, and so they will buy a number of these storage modules, use solar and wind during the day, store up the energy, and then at night when the sun doesn't shine, they can draw it off this for the. It's one of the first very large scale you might have saw it, and that's what they're building right now. They expect to. So the batteries are all still coming from Japan right now. They're being shipped over. But they expect to have Panasonic start doing ramp up of actually doing the battery production there late this year, or early in 17. So the other thing that was a bit of a revelation, and I think this is public, is, you know, Tesla's mass produced vehicle would be the so-called Model 3. You know, they have two cars right now, the Model S and the Model X, the SUV. The Model 3 is the $35,000 mass market car, and they're actually going to build another 1 million square foot addition to the existing factory. I think they'll break ground later this year, they indicated, to do the powertrain components for the Model 3 at the RSC as well. So they said that on top of the battery production, once they, I think, forecast up to 6,000 employees, there may be an additional 500 to 700 working in that component plant for actually doing vehicle components. So pretty interesting. I just thought
that's good stuff.
It's in the media what's going on, but it was interesting to see it firsthand.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you need to then work separately with Panasonic for their needs from Tesla?
Tesla is representing Panasonic at this point, and more. Go ahead, Jordan.
But their representatives are in close contact with us, and I'm sure once they ramp up their facility, they'll be there more. But they have hired some of our students to help them. They're set up in modular buildings out across the lake.
Thank you. You know, on that note, we got paid a visit by the president of the Chinese Manufacturers Association, who was asked, they were asked by Tesla to come in because they make all the components for Panasonic. Actually, Panasonic asked them to come in. So it's how they're going to, I think, push their supply chain in. But that might be somebody good for us to reach out to. Those are the ones that actually do the component manufacturing. So if you want to get with me offline, I can try.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Anything else, anybody? All right, thank you for that. That's really interesting stuff. So that would get down to the, we're looking forward to this one. Learn more about what's going on here in Fallon. Sherry, you want to lead us up?
Thank you. First of all, I just want to thank everybody. We much appreciate that you're holding your meetings here, and it plays well to the community, and that plays well for us, so thank you. I know that it's a little bit of a drive for some of you, so I appreciate it. And I did offer donuts, but he said that all of you were watching your waistline. So, so those of you who have not been here, if you get a chance, I'd certainly like to give you a tour. We have three beautiful buildings. And thanks to Mark and Chet and Bob and everybody, we were able to do a nice facelift, because this hadn't had a little uplift in many, many years. So we have these three new classrooms, which we think are beautiful. They're fully automated.
So if an instructor is going to show a movie, he pushes one button and the lights adjust a certain way. If he's going to do something else, the room changes. So it's just beautiful. The students are really happy. They love it. We also redid the administrative area. You probably noticed the bulletproof glass. So we're safe. So that's where we run and hide if we hear any gunshots. The library is beautiful. If you get a chance, go down there. We've redone the Academic Skills Center. The library, it's much less books because we can get books from the Carson campus in 24 hours, actually. But it's more collaborative spaces. So we have some spaces in there where students can actually work on presentations together. They have, again, everything's fully automated. So it's beautiful. We're also looking to get a big screen area so that students can do some games and that sort of thing. So loving it. We did our computer lab in Sage, which is the farthest building over. Since we're limited on space, we had to get creative, and kudos goes out to Mark on this one. So all the computers contract into the tables, so when we want it for a traditional lecture classroom, the computers are gone. When we need it for computers, they come back up. We're right now in the process of getting GED testing, which we have not had here, and one of the big cruxes of that is that you have to have a space between the students when they're testing. Well, with the computers going up and down, it gives us the opportunity to do that, so we're looking forward to that. That's a great recruitment tool to get students into the college. Judy already does know, we did have had meetings with Elaine, who runs the HOSA program at the high school, about possibly doing a CNA program with the high school. So we are in the works in that. So kudos to Judy on that. We already talked about the IT grant, which we think is going to be great. We've already been hustling to find some instructors, and we think we have some lined up. So that will be a great thing for our community. We did meet with Sarah LaFrance, and some of our ROC members also came, and some of our community leaders. We liked her. We did ask when was last time she was in Fallon, which was never. But she did say that she liked it very much, and she was impressed by all the people that came, and she was a very nice woman. We want her on our side, so we
took a lot of notes.
Yes.
She actually contacted me this morning because I was out of town.
Right.
So
right.
She's going to be meeting with me tomorrow.
Yeah. No, we liked her. So we it can't hurt us to have her on our side. We did open a Veterans Center in November, and since there are 1,400 veterans living in Churchill County, I've encouraged my veterans rep to try to get 5% of that. If we get 70 people, that would be huge. I would like 10%, but it's an area that we do need to focus on, and there are a lot of them who need training and education, so it's a good group for us to go after. We are holding our employability fair, which we did last year. And basically, we'll have 120 high school seniors here who are in the CTE program. And we have a panel, which is a great panel that represents the different industries. Hoyt Scavelin being one of our great panelists. And after the panel speaks and the students are the ones that submit the questions, then we break them up. We'll use these three classrooms as well as the convention center for mock interviews. That's kind of like speed mock interviews. It's great. And then we have customer service, how to succeed on any job, and a third one on communication skills. So we're looking forward to that. We've increased by 20%. And then, of course, we've talked about Jumpstart. We have 46 students that are really happy here. We talk to the parents and we talk to the students, and they really like it. And they really like hanging out here in the front area on the couches, that you can get some great conversations going out there. So our next hope is to possibly get a food cart or something. I did poll the students, and every one of them was like, are you kidding? Because they're here sometimes for 3, 4, 5 hours, and so that might be a way to make some money. Is that, you have a great idea for that?
Okay. These two are dangerous. They're really dangerous.
We are. We can stop that. Yeah.
In a good way.
And we have
way.
Many
Very
more
good
objectives,
way.
But I'm not going to bore you because then I'll have something to talk about at the next one. But again, thank you so much for coming and being here. We appreciate it very much.
You might want to give a quick update because we've... You know, one thing we've been trying to do is re-engage with stakeholders in our group. We used to have a prison program, for instance, in 2000 up to 2008 until the recession hit, and we're actually doing some classes again at the Warm Springs Institution. And we had a good meeting last week that was sponsored by Rob's group talking about expanding that to some of the Silver State industries and giving them opportunities for certificates. One of the other things that we had pulled out of when for security reasons was out at the Naval Air Station. And that's been a bit of a frustration, but Sherry can maybe give a quick update. I know she's been in conversation with me on that.
Right. So in March, I believe, Bob finalized and Mark finalized an MOU agreement with the base. And it has to go through a lot of levels. I had this conversation with him this morning. I said, so when in the military, is there a lot of, like, roadblocks? And he just sort of laughed at me. So that MOU, they said, would take about 6 months. Bob, how long has it been?
Longer than that.
So one of the hesitations is across the nation, the military has been closing down a lot of their education centers for cost reasons. But so that is one of the reasons it's on hold. But we are trying to get into their SOC, which is an organization you have to belong to so that you can offer classes. We've asked for a waiver. We haven't been denied, but we haven't been approved either. We're expecting to hear something hopefully this week. Accordingly, the bigs at the in the Navy are meeting today to discuss it. So fingers crossed, let's keep some good things. But our goal is you have a lot of military enlisted out there. Your officers, of course, already have their bachelor's degree. But it's not just the enlisted. It's their wives and a lot of them and their kids. It's the chief's kids. They want an education. So our hope is once we get this approved, to offer classes out there, and they like short-term. They want them in, and they want them out. We've also talked about when there's a CAG there, having some short, you know, weekend classes while they're there, kind of, to get them to get their education degrees. And what they want is mostly general ed, even though they have mentioned business. They have mentioned criminal justice because those fit into some of their areas. But they want the general ed because they're here for 2 or 3 years, then they transfer on to somewhere else. We want to make sure everything transfers so that they don't lose anything there. But the base itself is very happy and wants us to be there. So there's no resistance out there at all. We've met with all the key players. They like us, and they want us to be out there offering classes. Currently, we send a counselor out there every Monday. And so in the meantime, until we get classes out there, we're at least recruiting them to classes here. We've also talked about if this doesn't go through, you know, getting the Liberty bus going again. Most of you won't know what that was, but we that have been here, we used to have a bus where we would get a cohort of students, we'd bus them out here, they'd take their classes, and then we'd take it back out the base. So those are still some options. So it's not dead. It's not dead yet, and we're going to be there until the end. So that's where we're at.
So thank you, Sherry. You know, one of the things I heard loud and clear from the community here is, be it economic development, the Rock Group, is, you know, the Fallon campus had suffered after the budget cuts from I call it somewhat or a great deal of neglect. And we needed to get, you know, use the old military expression, boots on the ground out here and some focus. And Sherry has done that. I think the feedback has been very positive. It's reflected in the enrollment. It's up. It's reflected in, I think this is a phenomenal facility. It's part of the Western Group. If you see it, like I said, a lot of people, I think, come out here first time, they don't realize there's really a full campus out here. And there's some things we're going to talk about. Judy's going to talk about some things where we can continue to better partner with what's going on, the capabilities in Carson City as well as in Fallon. So thank you, Sherry.
And my boots have horse poop on them. I apologize. I had to leave the horses.
what is you?
Navy, dairy.
What is the?
She covers it all.
Right now we have we're up 5% in FTE. We're down a little bit in headcount, so we're less people taking more credits.
Okay.
And we're 220 FTEs.
Right. We're at 183.
Oh,
FTEs.
Yeah, that was
so hard. So we're happy.
And your Navy outreach is really, it's working. I have 2 students this semester, and they really add to the class. It's been really nice to have them in there.
Yes, Rachel teaches for us. We grab people around here and put them to work. So Rachel does a great job.
that those girls are two active duty females, and they're really neat to have in class.
That's great.
The perspective that they offer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job. Move along here, and I just throw in this from President Burton on the inch budget priorities for 2017.
Okay, with the legislature still not meeting for another year, it seems like, why are we talking about this? But the process is already ongoing at the system level. The chancellor gave a preliminary report at a special Board of Regents meeting on the 22nd of January. They'll be reporting again in the March meeting. And the way this goes is it happens very quickly, and then there'll be probably a special meeting in April. And at the June board meeting, the full board meeting, they'll actually finalize the NISHI budget that will go to the governor in August. So we're on very much a fast track to get this. And I'm very encouraged because, obviously, one of the comments in past years has been a very university-centric budget. Last time, there was so much focus on the medical school, of course, down in Las Vegas. Everything right now in terms of budget priority is community college-centric. And I think that ties into where the governor has publicly talked about we need to focus as a state on economic diversification and workforce development. And even though there's some uncertainty right now where the state budget's going to be on an overall basis going into the next session, i.e. how much real money will there be or new money, if there will be some, I think the focus is going to be on community college. And I believe the four priorities that NISHI is going to come forward with, at least, is going to be presented to the board. Ultimately, it'll be the Board of Regents to decide where they want to go. Will be the first one will be increased weighting under the funding formula for CTE classes. The CTE courses we do, be it machine tool, construction, manufacturing, welding, all those type things, are very expensive, and they're low student to instructor ratios because there's a lot of hands-on. And there's safety issues, they're equipment intensive, but yet, and the best comparison I can use is at the university level, they teach a graduate level 500 level class in history or English or anthropology or any one of the liberal arts. They get a weighting of 4.6 per student for that goes into the model. Our student in welding or machine tool or manufacturing gets a weighting of 2. Yeah. So that graduate level student in liberal arts at the university gets 2.5 times the funding that we do for CTE. And clearly, we subsidize those students through our liberal arts program, and that's not a sustainable model, especially when you're looking at growing. So we put a proposal in that the weighting will go up either to 3 or 4. In the next budget, which would, if it goes up to 3, that'd be additional about $650,000 for the college. If it goes up to 4, which is our recommendation, it'd be close to $1.3 million, which would allow us then to truly have the funding to support and grow those programs. And the other dirty little secret is we talk a lot about grants, and grants are great. Don't get me wrong. But it's not a sustainable business model if you think about it. It's really, at the end of the day, startup money. And if these programs don't have enough to be self-sufficient, they're going to wither and die down the road. And so this is very important. So I'm excited to see that as the first priority. The second priority is having some sort of funding pool or whatever you want to call it for new programs. And Jumpstart's a great example. You know, we're serving over 350 students in that program, but the way the funding model works is we won't see those students be reflected in the funding model until the next session. So the first students in Jumpstart started last year, and it'll be literally 3 years before we see that weighted student credit hour reflected in our state funding. And for a small institution like us, that's just unacceptable. It's too long to wait. You know, I know every year the K-12 do a count day, and so there's some closer correlation. But 3 years is just too long for us to wait. And there's a lot of programs that show a lot of promise. Judy's going to talk about, you know, expanding some rural nursing. But that's an expensive program, and if I have to wait 3 years, I just can't do it. But if the state had some mechanism to allow us to apply and get funding up front, and knowing it would be temporary, eventually these programs have to be self-sufficient, but at least would allow us to start it. And so that's exciting. And tied to that is also the special session where they Faraday got the tax abatements. There was also a companion bill that went through called the WIN, Workforce Innovation for a New Nevada Training. And that actually is a program that will allow us, say, General Electric wanted to do expansion, or they've got a new manufacturing base, Clickbond, we talked about, they're looking at automating some of their processes. It will actually allow us to do a joint application with that company to the state to get funding through that so-called WIN fund to set up a training program, whatever it might need. And that was a short-term budget priority with Faraday, but the governor's looking at making it permanent. So that also would allow us to have some startup money. The third one would be last year the legislature, for the first time in the history of Nevada, passed the so-called Silver State Opportunity Grant, which was the first time in the state of Nevada we've had a need-based financial aid program. Obviously, Governor Gwynn has started the Millennium Scholarship Program with the tobacco settlement money, and that's been a great program. It's still ongoing, but that is merit-based. And almost 90% of the Millennium dollars flow to the universities. Very little of it goes to the community colleges. And clearly, when you look at our population, a lot of our families have financial challenges, and B, they're first generation. They don't, you know, understand the balance between college and work, and that's where it really trips them up, trying to work their way through school and take less than a full course load. This Silver State grant, we've got, I think, 64 students right now right in that area receiving grants. Where the goal will be to allow these students a pathway to stay on track, to go to college full-time, and get a certificate or degree. And it's been very successful. And we'd like to see it not only continued but expanded, because less than half the students that qualify for it are getting funding right now, and it's all done on a first-come, first-served basis. And if you're looking at Nevada is number 50 in the country in terms of adults with either a college certificate or degree. And if less we provide a pathway for a lot of these students early on to get in, we're never going to move the needle on that statistic. And last but not least is it's been an ongoing issue going all the way back to the recession in 2008, looking at addressing some of the faculty and staff pay issues, because essentially pay was frozen in 2008 and it's been there ever since. And in fact, there are a lot of givebacks with the so-called furloughs for 6 years, and unless there's funding presented, it's going to be very hard for us to address some of the equity and compression issues that we've seen by pay being froze for almost 8 years now. And so, there, you know, I'm not sure how much relief will be forthcoming, but if you don't ask, you never get. So I believe it's a fairly simple list. But I think I'm very encouraged, because almost every one of those items would have a positive impact on what we're trying to do.
Okay. A couple questions from me. On your pool for new programs, And you, then you talked about the wind. Are those the same thing? Or
well, they're really different because new programs would be just college-centric.
Right.
The WIN program is actually a shorter-term training program where a company would come to us. It could be, you know, somebody like GERD or anything else saying, I got this new equipment, I've got this new process, I want to expand, and I need to train, you know, 20 workers. And it may be in something we don't do today. And then we could go apply for that, get a program up and running, and it'd be a short-term training program to get them the staffing they need to support their you know, change in process or their growth.
With the pool money, is it allowable to use that as a grant match to leverage those dollars?
Yes.
Okay. And in your mind, once that's in place, the new program, assuming that it's a needed program, that it would actually be self-sustaining?
Yeah, one of the things to apply for that, we'd have to show down the road how it would generate enough enrollment to become self-sustaining.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
I mean, Jumpstart's a perfect example. That program more than is self-sustaining right now, but it was almost impossible. At the same time, we were taking almost $1 million budget cut by the decrease of the so-called mitigation funding for the community colleges. We really almost, I make the joke that we were shaking off the sofa to find the money to get that going. But it's proven its worth, and eventually, a year from this July, finally, we hopefully will see the growth to go through that and see the budget dollars following.
Perfect. Any questions? Comments? Thank you, President Burton. That's really good. Looks like there's a brighter horizon.
Well, and I guess another way, is all members of the Institutional Advisory Council, once the board ratifies these budget priorities, in any interaction you may have with, legislators or, the governor's office or whatever else, obviously the next front of this would be getting the funding in the governor's budget and then hopefully having it see it successfully go through the legislative session and in a role a lot of folks playing here, it could be important as an advocate, hopefully, to see this happen.
One of the things that would be helpful to me, maybe some others in here, would be another meeting would be to have talking points.
Right, and once they're finalized.
Yes, when we're talking to our associates out there, we can see, hey, here's what you need to be behind. So.
That's a great suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on because we're growing long on time here. That's a really cool thing here to talk about our nursing program.
I think we're...
Did I skip one?
Oh, no, you're right.
Judy.
For people that don't know Judy, she is our director of our health and nursing program at the college, longtime employee, runs a very, very successful program, anywhere between 97% and 100% pass rate on their boards on their first try. And more importantly, though, generally 100% higher rate with their graduates. And the only time I've seen one not get a job, and I've asked them why they're not, and it's usually because they haven't decided what they want to do. So, great program. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I came to this region in 2002 planning to stay 5 years. And so I threw the calendar out and just stay until some of this is done. You have a copy of a handout that you might have had the chance to attempt to save some time.
It should be in everyone's packet.
One of the things that nurses do when they do start to talk about things, they use what they call the nursing process. And always it starts with what are the problems before you try to get an answer. First understand the problems. So on your handout, basically what I looked at was there's some problems here with our nursing program. We do have students who come from Fallon and from surrounding areas that are a distance from the college, but more towards the Fallon region. And I was talking to the students one day, and they travel 2 to 3 times a week, 70 miles each way. It eats up a day. It takes up a lot of time. Most importantly to me, it puts them in danger every day that they're on the road. They're there for long hours. They're tired. And could we do something about that? That's a problem. How do you solve it? We also, and then point number two, we have a lab here that is for us to use, assuming and providing we use it. We are, I believe, in a little bit of a perilous state. Because right now, because of an unexpected resignation of a CNA instructor just before the start of the CNA course that was supposed to be in Fallon, she said, I can't do this course. So our lab is empty. Now, in the same building, in the physician's clinic, is the county who always is looking for space. And my real concern is we've got to do something here or we're going to lose that space. It is a beautiful space, well-equipped, can handle education of nurses, can handle education of CNAs, EMS, and the like. So that's another, what are we going to do about this problem? And the third one is, when you talk about nursing, you always have to have places that are off-campus and they're going for an education in a health facility. What happened with Highland Manor, and I think this is common knowledge, there was an accident in the nursing home, and because of that accident, the nursing home, or this Highland Manor, there's at least 150 patients there, they lost the rights to educate their own CNAs in-house, and they lost the right to serve as a facility for a campus, a college, to come and use that facility. And they're now under the gun because they have to bring in CNAs, travel CNAs, to get the CNAs. Okay. They can't educate them themselves. And we need that space. And we love Banner Churchill, but it takes a lot of space to educate these students. So we're trying to see... We're trying to say, maybe, just maybe, we can work with the health department and maybe with the Nevada State Board of Nursing to say, look what you're doing to this facility. It's not intentional, but they can't educate their people. Their nurses and their CNAs are working overtime. They're tired, and we need this facility. Can we work together to have everybody satisfied that this is not helping, this is punitive, and what can we do to make this better? So we're going to try to go down that avenue and see if we can find another facility to educate CNAs who really would take advantage of this in a heartbeat. So we plan on educating CNAs this summer. We're trying to figure out all of the things that will work that you need, and we'll use the hospital if they... I'm sure they'll have us. But we have to divide up the numbers of students to go in groups so we can accommodate the students. So, okay, so the goal I've talked about is we would love to do this work for the people in this region. And so I've talked about the first one and working out a program, a plan of action that would help everybody as opposed to hurt, which is not the intention. So I just now have the name of the people to contact and say, what can we do and how can we work together? See, commitment from Highland Manor. Okay, what can we do as a corporation? What can we do to make this a site so we can have students back into the building? We can do a lot. The issue always is funding. And right now, the funding is not there to hire a part-time that can make some of these things happen. So we're looking to see if we could piece together some funding from the various agencies who might benefit from this and bring this about. And I would say we have a part-time faculty member who used to teach for the college, is credentialed with several master's degrees, just retired from Carrington College has famed as her ability to work with simulation and knows the college and knows how. And this person would come. So if you know of any places he can go for some funding and help us with this, we could make it happen. It's not that we don't want to do it. It's just that it's a hurdle we have to get through. So we're seeing, you know, can we do some of these things? So on the next page, in looking at, we had a faculty member on an LOA contract or a part-time contract. These are some of the things that we might be able to do to help the education for healthcare workers. Provide education and practice opportunities through the use of simulation. Coordinate the use of the nursing laboratory. This is what the part-time faculty or the person would do. Coordinate the use of the nursing lab. Could teach some courses for first and second year students. Teach a clinical course in the clinical setting. Coordinate to teach nursing 130, which is nursing assistants, which is where a lot of programs start with a nursing assistant program. Communicate with healthcare facilities who provide clinical experiences. And the person we're trying to find some funding for would be able to help with this whole coordination. It's not okay for me to try to do it and come out once every 2 months. You can't. That doesn't work that way if you're going to make it grow. So we're looking to see, is there someone or someones who might be interested? And so that's what we're looking for. We found the person, and we just need to find some money. The other thing is that we could make this happen in Fallon because we have found a fund. We have found a foundation that actually likes us. They like rural, and they particularly are interested in rural education. They're not interested in funding people, but they're interested in funding things.
Yeah.
Okay, but you need both. Mm-hmm. And so could we work with this Kate Pennington, who came to us to say, what do you need? And they gave it to us. We have an opportunity to help these nursing students and these CNA students, and the nursing students in particular, because there's now something I call it lecture capture, and that's where students can be live in a classroom, and the classroom is outfitted so that they can broadcast a live lecture to the Fallon lab area, to this campus, to their home, to a library in the town where they live. So there is this opportunity to save wear and tear on body and vehicles and all those kinds of things that have to happen to go back and forth, back and forth. We have a computer lab here. Our students could take the exams here. And I'm just trying to figure out a way, how can we help meet the needs of this whole area here, who so grieved the loss of the nursing program when we just didn't have the funding. It was not planned, just didn't have the funding. And so what can we do to bring it back? And it might come back, and maybe in steps. It might come back maybe in big steps or big steps. Mm-hmm. So we're just looking for, I guess, for your thoughts on this. And at the very bottom here, the benefits of the expansion, it would increase the presence of the nursing and allied health division in the Fallon campus. I think nursing is one of those things that's like motherhood and apple pie. You like them both. Most people do. potentially increase enrollment in the liberal arts division here on campus. Provide educational experiences on the Fallon campus for nursing students that might negate 250 to 300 miles of travel each week, and increase enrollment on the Fallon campus. The lecture capture thing is such that it records the presentation. The student couldn't be there for the presentation live in Carson City. They can tune it in when they get home from work. They can look at it again and again and again and have that theory piece. The lab piece is here, almost. tables fully operational just the way it is. And I just think that knowing that the top 10 occupational opportunities in the next 10 years is healthcare. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it begins sometimes with CNAs and nursing. So the opportunity is here. And certainly the hospital is not going to hire all of our graduates. And that is not the reason why we try to bring these back. It is the license that a nurse earns, that a nurse is able to take practice to anywhere and outside of hospitals or wherever they belong. So it's to serve the whole region. The other shocking thing is in 10 years, half of the nurses now working are going to be retired. Mm-hmm. 10 years. That is unbelievable. What are you going to do? How are you going to help these people? And how can we educate the people here who are interested in healthcare? I want to say one more thing about the program, because I love it, that's why I'm still here. There are two. Now, understand that the value of a nursing program rests on one thing, and that is how many graduates pass the licensing exam on first attempt. That's what it's based on. So they don't care if you take it and pass the second time, or it takes you three times, but your value is, and it's posted and listed all over, what is your first time pass rate? So I have to say, this past year, two of the poorest colleges, which would be Great Basin, and you know the other one, okay, because we're all around the table trying to help it, was Western. We each had 100%. We beat the universities who have all this money. Okay, now I know, in June, when they all start to take this again, the whole thing starts all over again. And if you can win it and lose it, it's a quality program. Our college also believes in excellence. And my final thought here to say to you is the administration of this college approved that nursing faculty may work one day a week during the week to maintain competency. Every one of the nursing faculty worked. Mm-hmm. We have a midwife with a doctoral degree. She's a midwife and a nurse practitioner. And that was the key to getting her, because she could then keep her practice up. Students know it in a heartbeat if you have an educated. And it's expensive. It's expensive on the people. But if you want a quality program, you must have quality people. So we like to work with everybody around the table. And if you have any ideas about any funding sources, glad to hear it.
Let me just give you a little background. I really appreciate a lot of work. It seems fairly simple at face value, but Judy and her team has put a lot of thought and effort into this. And this goes back, there used to be a fairly robust nursing program out here in Fallon. It was a great feeder to our program. And, you know, with a variety of issues, obviously with the budget and everything, it went away. And one of the first things I heard in working with the Rock Group and working with the county and the city, I heard over and over is, we'd love to see an avenue again for those students that are out here that like to pursue a career in healthcare. And so I think that this is another one where if we had perhaps, you know, the state funding for a startup, because clearly we'll get the enrollment, this will support itself down the road. It's just figuring out how we can get it launched and maybe partnering a combination with, you know, the local beneficiaries, the county. I know Buzz is, I wish he could have been here today, has expressed interest in this, that maybe we can, and maybe something I'm not even thinking about, we can come up with some ideas, because I think this is something that would be very beneficial to the community, and it would, I can't think of a downside, you know. So anyway, that just gives you a little bit of perspective why this came about.
And we have a great HOSA program. I mean, it is a successful HOSA program at the high school. It's a feeder for those types of programs.
So the objective is to bring back an every other year or some type of an actual program here. This is still, the program's still in Carson City,
right,
as far as this goes, but it starts offering a lot of classes here. So, but longer term, we'd still like to bring it back.
Well, it's always been a combination of classes here and finishing in Carson City.
We used the IAV before. And
But actually having a faculty member out here be able to do a lot of the labs, some of the clinical, et cetera, right?
And move it along. When we started, we didn't have enough students. And so we had maybe three students. And then slowly it built up, and all of a sudden we had 16. And it doesn't happen overnight, because there's a piece of this must work so that they have the prerequisites. Mm-hmm. And so we were even thinking maybe we can have a jumpstart healthcare curriculum where students in the high school and the juniors and the seniors, because it's happened in Carson City. They entered the nursing program right out of high school. Mm-hmm.
You'd see a huge demand. They could graduate, they're almost a nurse. Yeah. They're 1 year away.
Mm-hmm. And we do. We have the HOSA program already established, so that's...
That's just something that I think it'd be really easy to build upon. Mm-hmm. just to look at the curriculum and really, integrate it a little bit stronger.
But you're right. It can grow and it can. I mean, our students, no matter where they live, and they live Carson Tahoe. I mean, they live at the lake. They live Gardnerville area. They live north of Reno. They live out here. They all over the place. So they all have to travel. We're just trying to cut it down so that it's reasonable for these students, because they all go to Reno in their second year of the program. They go to Saints and they go to St. Mary and Reno. So they everybody has to travel. Can't change that. But we might be able to, but help the students and make it more feasible.
Yeah, I have a question for you on the demand coming from Highland Manor. How many folks could they hire out here?
As a CNA, well, they would hire two of them also as graduates, I'm sure. So,
when we met with them, they said they had a high turnover. They have a very high turnover. But they said, 13 to 16 every 6 months?
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's a big demand.
It's a big demand.
Would it be possible to use the intern program for something like this?
Probably not. This
would
is a
love
little
this.
Different. So.
I keep asking that question.
Yeah, I know.
It's a bit complicated because under the Nevada State Board of Nursing also, there's some pretty strict regulations on lots of things.
But what do you need from the Nevada Health Department?
The Nevada Health Department, I believe, is one of the players who made the decision that this organization, Highland Manor, would lose the right to serve as an educational site, even though it would be students coming in with a faculty member with them. They just said, for the next 2 years, you've lost that right. And then they will review it to see if they can ever have be an educational site.
And we did meet with them. Of course, they've had a lot of turnover in their administration, not quite sure why. But they were open arms. It's like, whatever you need, we can do it. But because of the accident that happened there, it's been taken away from them. So we're trying to, give it back to them. So if we can figure out a way how to do that.
I guess somebody in my office can help you.
Okay. Okay.
So we're going to try to work with a group who can examine this problem. And maybe see it's kind of ludicrous to take away the education of what that could help the organization.
And help the community.
I know there's so many regulations.
So one action item out of this, if I may offer, maybe an ad hoc group of the stakeholders, be it the faculty that Judy would represent, both the hospital and the Manor, long-term Highland Manor, maybe the county, because Bus has expressed interest as well, and look at this and maybe come up with something to bring back at the next meeting. We could, you know, a blueprint we might be able to use for the funding to get this started. Because, again, I think this is one of those programs. The enrollment will support it down the road if we can just get all the pieces back in place.
Mm-hmm. I have 1,000 questions, but I'll save them for that meeting.
Okay, yeah. The one more thing, that we're also working with EMS, and so EMS can use that facility also. And in Carson City, we're trying to work with those fire departments. They all have educators, and they all do their own education. And our lab at the college has about $150,000 worth of marvelous simulation equipment.
What's
and we could help that. Come to the college and get your education.
And what's your total budget need to implement this program?
To get it started?
Yeah.
Probably about a half-time faculty salary.
Between $50,000 and $60,000.
Probably. You could do it 50. Now, if you're going to offer CNA and can't really do much with nursing, then it would be a little bit less. But you're going to find, what I'm finding out, I'm finding it's very hard to find a good faculty member. And they don't come, they're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But not that
expensive. We do have that possible CNA instructor that was a former student who, mm-hmm. Cindy Muskley, has expressed interest.
Okay. Given what I hear in demand, we could start a part-time, but it probably pretty quickly morph into a full-time program.
Which, that's not a bad problem to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could.
All right. Anything else? Thank you very much.
Well, I guess, do we want to present an action item to put together and talk to a lot of this and to look at maybe an action plan that we could bring back? Put that motion.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Would anybody like to make a motion that we start an ad hoc group of stakeholders to include Highland Manor, the county, and other to be identified
Point.
Groups?
I'll make that motion.
Point made that motion. Everybody would like to second that.
Rachel.
Yes, I second that motion.
All in favor?
Sorry.
Any opposed?
Sorry.
Okay. So, Chad, you and I can talk about what we have to do to make that happen. Thank you for that suggestion. Okay, now we're going to move on. And I'm supposed to do something with this one, which I will do right now. Can we turn this over to Bob?
Thank you. I'm Bob Clifford, and I'm the chair of the... Ellen.
All of a sudden, we can hear you, Carrie.
We can hear you.
Gerd's got to run out to a meeting, so he's popping out.
Okay. Bye, Gerd.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so thank you for inviting me in. I'm the chair of the ROC committee for our college campus. Is what ROC stands for. We're 4 years old. Bus Jarman, more than 4 years ago, Bus Jarman, who was the dean of the Fallon campus for many years, and some other Western Fallon people had some meetings in their homes and stuff, and he ended up calling, posting notices all over for a public meeting to address, you know, saving the Fallon campus or something to that effect. And 100-plus people showed up at the commission chambers. There were a lot of comments given. People were given the chance to sign up to serve on a committee to address it, and I got on that committee along with a lot of others, and it has always been informal. When Bus was asked to go over and run the school district for a year, Bus was the original chair, and then I took over the chair when Bus took the job for a year to run the local school district. And then now Bus is a county commissioner, so I seem to be stuck being chairman.
it's pretty informal, but I think what we did, I kind of describe it as we made a lot of noise about not being happy with Dr. Lucy and what had happened. All of the, everybody at Fallon kind of reported to somebody in Carson City at Western. I mean, in terms of the staff and everything here, there was a lack of focus on Fallon, and basically it was in decline. It had gone from around 20% of Western down to like 10% of Western, and I think at that point was kind of in danger of just disappearing. During some of the really tight budget things, there were people saying, well, look, we have to cut the other campuses, that kind of thing. So we kind of lost it completely, and so we made a lot of noise, and what's happened over the years is that now, you know, Shed's done a great job. Sherry now has brought enormous focus and momentum to the local campus, and our focus as a group has kind of changed from going in and raising a lot of issues to more, hey, we're pretty happy with how things are going at the Fallon campus. We're almost more worried now about, you know, I'll call it saving, but supporting Western, because the biggest issues we see now are the overall budgets for Western. There's a similar kind of a group. I don't know how much it meets up for Great Basin College. John Carpenter, who is a longtime legislator in Nevada, is up there, and he and Rob Stokes, who's the county manager up there, we work with them because basically between those two groups, we're kind of trying to protect the higher education in rural Nevada. So, you know, our concern is not strictly Fallon campus. It's more or also to deal with, the, you know, just higher ed in all of the worlds, and, you know, Yarrington or all, you know, all the other places around the state. So, but since Buzz is still a member of the ROC committee. And
the conference is about to end.
We're hitting our limit.
Yeah.
And Rachel,
can you see
comes,
if we can extend it? Check
yeah.
with Walt. He's around.
So since, you know, Rachel comes to a lot of our ROC meetings and participates in that. So we kind of have connections into this group. I think what you'll find is, and I think Chet and Bob and Mark and Mary and others can attest that I'm at the legislature a lot, and they're either to support, like Chet, to get when he was to get confirmed for full time, or budget issues, and we're pretty vocal. And John Carpenter and I traveled to Las Vegas at one point on funding formula legislative meetings. And so, you know, what we're really here is to support the college. We're still kind of putting the pressure on. You know, we would love to have the nursing program back kind of restored and things like that. And, you know, that's what we've been doing. I don't know that we need to make any major changes to what's happening. I'm not thrilled about getting into where we have to be comply with public meeting laws. You know, we got enough. You know, we're all just volunteers. So,
well, maybe it's a good relationship right now. I just thought it'd be good to let everyone know that this has been a strong advocate for the college in both rural Nevada as well as Fallon specifically. And, you know, they brought forth some good suggestions to me, and, I think that the partnership's been very positive. So thank you.
Super.
And if you want to keep it informal, kind of the way we're doing it, maybe a report twice a year or something.
Well, we were just talking about sharing minutes of meetings.
Maybe
that'd
be the easiest way.
Which would give more visibility into what's happening. So we do have, Ginny Dugan does a great job as a recorder. you know, does complete minutes and everything of ours.
Yes, and I can work with Deb to get the minutes out to all the members. Because they meet bi-monthly now, I believe.
Right, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
I think it's really important to know what's going on in the world as far as the needs are concerned. I see a lot of growth coming into the rules right now in Nevada.
Now, we can also do other things like local support. I don't know if we could. We may be able to help somehow with the Board of Health or something like that. You know, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, and if there's a meeting or a review or something, we can go and help have a better presence there, you know, get a few people to go, that kind of thing.
So we can refer to you as the veto kind of committee. We just call veto.
Yeah.
Strong one.
All right, moving on. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So an update on the status of the Reynolds Tech Center construction remodel.
Okay. So, and you want to just do it real quick, Georgia?
Sure. I'm passing around the view. Carrie, I'm not going to worry about you not having a picture handy.
I know what it looks like.
So we've worked quite a bit with Carrie and Miles Construction. This, we wanted to create an entrance, and so this is west-facing, so we wanted a harder surface, not necessarily glass, to protect from the sun as well as the wind at the Carson campus. So things are moving along great. We've identified a couple structural issues, but really what's going to happen is we're going to have this wonderful open space for manufacturing and mechatronics, and it's all going to be portable so that we can move different stations around and run it like a manufacturing floor, or set up some roadblocks and let the students problem solve how to design the setup so that it worked better.
Goodbye,
So he won't have any input. So anyway, so we're moving along great on that. So we're very excited with that expansion. It's going to be marvelous. One thing that I've seen from individuals walking through our facilities to the Don Soderberg, the director of Dieter, coming through and really liking our facilities, is that we have a tremendous base to train students and that sort of thing. So we're developing those programs, we're expanding them so we can train, educate at many different levels. So we have that. And I just want to say one more quick thing. That since our educational partners are here. In the first round of the STEM grant, we partnered with Nevada State College to identify training of secondary STEM educators and how we can do that so they stay in their local area. And we'll be having a meeting with Nevada State the end of March. So the first round of the grant was planning, but we're really going to beef up our programming and delivery, much like Judy talked about with nursing, so that we will have those STEM teachers in areas within our service area. And the other little thing, I know Bob's going to talk for a second, but one thing we love is partners. And obviously construction is going to be a big area in all of our regions, but we're not seeing students come in. So we worked with Nevada Builders Alliance, Join, Nevada Workforce Connection, and they put together, we have an article in here.
Hi.
Yay.
Which, yes, Carrie was part of this group. And so starting the end of March, we're going to offer a gateway construction program. So this intensive short-term training, which is the way we designed this, the IT grant, intensive short-term training, kind of like gateway to careers. And so there's that. If you have any questions.
When will this be completed?
Pardon?
When will your completion date, what's your completion date on the facility?
Lisa, Carrie, what do you see as the completion date?
The mute sign, can't hear us.
Okay, Carrie, what do we see as the potential completion date?
Well, I think the start date's the first part to the completion date.
Thanks, Gary.
So the overall construction time frame is relatively brief. I put it at probably 2.5 months, something of that scale. But the question is the start date. We are, as you can see, very preliminary on the drawings. Still a little bit of research to do, and we have a bit of an entitlement process to go through. This is all entitled through the state rather than through the city, and typically the state is known to be a little slower. Our goal is to have a summer start is what we're pushing for.
Thank
so to, I guess the short answer to your question would be completion in the fall of 16.
Thank you.
And that's probably the shortest report you've ever heard me give. I want it noted.
Well, it was the request. I think it's important to keep it. It's a big project for us. And again, it was all funded through grants. We went out and raised the money to do this.
Okay. Did you want to add something to that, Bob?
Nope. That covers it.
So now we're going to move to a report on MSC's recruitment for CTE programs. So.
And the vast majority of that has been done by Georgia. She spends more time out in the high schools recruiting CTE students than she does in her office, I believe. So I don't know how she's getting everything done in her office because she's always out recruiting. I'll let her talk about what she's doing, but I will point out that we do have a line funded through Perkins Grant, whose primary role is to be our connection between CTE and the high schools. So there's a full-time person out making those connections. We're also looking at repositioning some of our TAC Round 4 funding to hire a person who's more designed to reach out between our CTE programs and the non-high school students.
So, yeah, I was going to say we're hitting both areas. Part of the school meetings is to find out which are the active CTE programs, what are the needs, as well as designing the new Jumpstart track, we're calling it track CTE now, so we're not track CTE. And then the other part is finding the connections with the community, with the local businesses, and I've also been spending a lot of time meeting different businesses, manufacturers, logistics folks, and so on, and attending manufacturing forums to some sort of workforce development, and again, all through our service area. And it's really starting to bubble up the needs of the different areas and how a WNC might meet those needs and how we can develop partnerships.
Mm-hmm. Good. Any comments or questions? Okay, we'll move on. Update on the high school.
Yeah, and 15 is dovetailed, and this came out of the suggestion of this group, so it was very positive. This is a positive action that said, how can we work better to get the word out on what we're doing with CTE? And so I signed letters last week to all the high school principals and counselors in our service area, and we're hosting them. We've invited them on the 10th of March to come in and tour, so they actually see hands-on what we're doing, as well as talking about that link, because one of the comments I've heard over and over is so many of the counselors have gone through a traditional four-year bachelor degree track, and that's their whole focus. And with, you know, 6 of 10 jobs that are going to open in the state in the next 10 years, needing certificates and CTE tracks, that's where the need is. So, it's, you know, working with them to explain how, you know, it's not a second-class citizen saying, well, you can't get a bachelor degree, you should go this route. It's saying, you know, this is a valid career track for a lot of people that in certain areas like welding and advanced manufacturing, in a lot of cases, probably pay better than somebody with a liberal arts degree coming out of the university. But getting the counselors plugged into that
so that they can do a better job. So we're excited about this on the 10th. It'll be, you know, some hands-on showing our capability as well as talking about how do you guide a student to going in one of these careers and actually reaching down, as Dr. Sheldon said, you know, the partnership and as well as Carson City, the partnership reaching down and working with these students earlier on and getting them on track. So by the time, you know, they graduate high school, they can see that clear career path. You know, they're not just floundering like we see so many 18 and 19-year-olds doing. So I'm excited about this.
And can I say one thing for our business folks? I've taken some flack for this, but with our Jumpstart students coming in and training, we're expecting them to be on time, to work while they're there, and to meet the deadline. So there's no late papers, no, you know, if you show up late, that's recorded and reported and so on. So we're trying to educate the business behavior, professional behavior, as well as the educational aspect.
Thank you very much. Next one's really quick. This is my little job to remind everybody what the attendance policy is. Everybody's supposed to show up and say we're all in our places with bright, smiling faces, right? The way that the policy works is that council members that miss three consecutive regular meetings may be replaced in the discretion of the chair and college president. An absence may be excused for good cause by the chair if the chair is notified in advance of the meeting. Replacement of any members who has not completed their terms should be made by the chair of the Nevada Board of Regents when the name or names are nominated by the college president. So that's as it states in our policies here. So as you know, we do take attendance each time. We do need to have quorums. If you're going to have to be someplace else, just email me. As long as we know what's going on, then we say, yeah, this is an excused absence. But just not showing up several times in a row is not a good thing for anybody in the group. So sorry to have to be the guy to break the news, but that's the way it is. New business. Any items for consideration for our...
I've got two things, Mr. Chair. One is, I again encourage all the members to please come forward with agenda items. I mean, at the end of the day, we're here to serve the needs of the community. Unless we get things on the agenda, it's pretty hard to do that. And, of course, with the provisions of the open meeting law, we have to agendize these meetings. So, you know, the chair will generally, about a month ahead, send out a request. And I just encourage you to think about things that would, you know, at the end of the day, lend, you know, credence to this committee and to what we're doing. And the second one, I'd also like to propose an agenda item, and I don't want to sign anybody up unnecessarily, but I think that a report by Dr. Medina and Kathy Fulkerson talking about, we said, how can we measure our progress and everything? And they were going to look at some of the joint metrics that they use both on the K-12, which we're impacting now through Jumpstart and the possibility of some of these other CTE programs. And I'd like to see maybe a pilot that we could do with Carson City, and then it would be we could work with the other schools in our school district to roll out, because the board keeps saying, well, how are you showing results? How are you showing results? And I think that if we come up with some common metrics and we've got the experts here, and maybe they could come up with a recommendation then that the whole committee could hear that we could use as a blueprint. So that would be my two areas for new business. And I hope I didn't step on your toes, Ricky.
No, no.
Anybody else?
I don't know if this would be new business or public comment, but and I know we have a great need for manufacturing, a great need for construction. We also have a great need for teachers. And we have some new opportunities with the governor signing alternative routes to teaching certifications. And I don't know exactly how it would work with WNC or with the campus, but you know, if somebody's got a bachelor's degree you know, we're going to be able to provide an opportunity for them to get their education credits and be able to go into teaching full-time, helping out with our substitute training. So that might be something that we want to discuss at a future level, is how can the college support that.
That's a great suggestion, and we are doing some things, as Dr. White talked about, with them out of state, and I think we can build on that working with the school district too. Just like in nursing, Judy talked about the number of nurses that are going to retire in the next 10 years. I think all the superintendents are well aware of the demographics and their teachers and where that's going in the next 5 to 7 years as well.
Anybody else? Going once, going twice. Any public comment?
Actually, I have one. I've forgotten about this until just a minute ago. There was a meeting last week with System, with all 8 of the universities and community colleges, talking about Gateway Math and English courses and the importance of getting our students through that first credit level course as quickly as possible. This is primarily for our K-12 partners, but the rest of you may be interested as well. Board passed policy back in June stating multiple things, but amongst those was that we have to create a path to make sure every student, no matter how low they place, is able to complete all their developmental program within the first year that they're with us, so they're in a credit level course by the end of that first year. The part that affects K-12, and you probably already have this information, was the ACT testing and enrollment in math and English during the senior year guarantees placement into credit level courses when they come to us. So that is an option that should clean up some of the placement issues we've had.
Yeah, you realize ACT now is required for all juniors in the state.
Right. And that's why they're
great.
With that test.
Absolutely great. Mm-hmm.
And I was requested to share that information with the IAC by the state system office.
Cool. Anything else?
I just want to thank our chair for soldiering on.
I'm trying to make this thing out of here. All right, then we are adjourned.
Thanks, everyone, thank for coming to Valley.
Thank you.
Georgia, do you have more of these that we could share with the school?
Yes.